In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In December 1944 was about the end of the World War I, where World War II was starting to come to a close. The Germans were in retreat, and the Allies were advanced with the U.S. The Germans knew that there wasn't much that they could do, but they hoped that they could at least outlast long enough to where the Allies would just give up. So they had one last counteroffensive that they tried here in those cold, bitter winter December months. They decided what they wanted to do was they had captured many POWs, prisoners of war, and they took their uniforms, put them on some of their own German ones, and airdropped them, parachuted them down behind lands that were formerly held by them. And they had one mission. The one mission that these spies, these moles had, was to go out into the countryside, blend in with everybody else, which they easily did with those American uniforms, and just to go to the roads and the highways, finding every sign that they could, and turning it into some other direction. If it was pointing north, to turn it south. If it was pointing east, to turn it west, to turn it in some other direction. This was an effective strategy, because back then, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have Google Maps. They didn't have GPS to be able to find out where they were located. The fog of war was real. All they had was maps and road signs. And so because of this, the German spies were able to confuse many battalions and cause them to be completely lost, giving the Germans plenty of time to prepare and harden their defenses. In our world, there are lots of false signs, aren't there? There are lots of false signs pointing us in all sorts of different directions, confusing us, promising us that our lives are going to be successful, we're going to find truth, we're going to find happiness in all sorts of things, but in the end, they end in misery. They end in sadness. They end in loss. Lots of false signs in our culture everywhere we look. They end in disappointment. What Jesus Christ, he did, he came to give us the gospel, which is his very self, so that we can know the path that ultimately leads to God. What did he say in the Gospel of John? He says, what? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody comes to the Father unless they come through me. That's the gospel. That's what our Lord has come to give us. And as his friends, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are ones who are remade in baptism, which you lovely ones right there are about to be baptized. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for all my Hing families out there. Yeah, you little one too, you're going to be baptized. We're going to have, what, 6 baptisms here? Each one of you are called in your baptism, which is about to happen, and each of us who are living it out, to live in that divine life that we talked about last week, that perichoresis, the love of the Trinity that totally offers Father giving everything to the Son, Son receiving everything from the Father, and in turn pouring everything back into the Father, which actually is the very person of the Holy Spirit, the three who are continually doing this in this love. Each one of us are called into that. And our mission is the same as the mission of Christ, the mission of God, the mission of the Holy Trinity, which is to have the same gospel lived out in our lives. Are we? Are we? What kind of signs are we as Catholics? True signs or false signs? Now, I'm convinced, I know, I see it everywhere, that there are many, many people around the world who are dressed like Catholics. They have the rosaries in their rearview mirrors. They wear them on their persons. They put their scapulars on. They have their santos in their front yard or in their homes. But just like the German spies, they're actually false Catholics. They're false signs. They're not actually living it out within their lives. And when people look at that, people of the world, people who have fallen away as Catholics, what do? They look at that and they say, well, if that's what a Catholic is, I don't want anything to do with that God. If people like that, why do I need the Eucharist? Why do I need these sacraments that I talk about so much? Why do I need to get up on Sunday morning and go worship God if doing that makes them like you all? If they're not better than me, why should I do what they're doing? And that's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing. And so that's a call to us to be what it is that we're called to be, to receive the graces that we have, because each of us has the ability to be a great saint. That's what baptism is going to do for these young men and women over here. And that's what it should have done in each of us, and we need to get back to it. Today we're living out what? The second Sunday of February every year is always World Marriage Sunday. So today we celebrate marriage, this beautiful sign that God has given us. Marriage, World Marriage Sunday reminds us of what we need to focus on as the sign of marriage, that our marriages are supposed to be signs of what God's love is for humanity. You know, every time that God talks about how he pours out his love, and whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, anywhere you look at it, he uses the sign of marriage. Sign of marriage. So in every marriage, we should be able to see God's love. But the problem is, then we look around, and especially as we look here through Our Lady of Guadalupe County, we don't see good signs of marriage, right? We see lots of problems within marriage. We see false signs of marriage everywhere we look. You go to the schools, not even half of those kids in school have families that are good signs of what marriage is. And that's a sadness. So we need to get back to that. What is marriage? What is the sign, the sacrament of marriage actually supposed to be? Well, marriage is this. Marriage is supposed to be a training ground. A training ground, which is mean a ground for growing, a ground for growth, which is a communion of life and love lived out between the husband and the wife. A training ground that mirrors the very life and love of the Holy Trinity. We talked about that last week. That's that perichoresis, that movement of the Father giving everything to the Son receiving everything from the Father and giving everything that he is, holding nothing back. Making the Holy Spirit, that communion of persons that is there. So too is our own love supposed to be. Marriage is supposed to be a self-emptying, holding nothing back, giving everything over to that other person. That's what God has actually called us to live out in marriage. But then we have that lie, that false sign of marriage. We see it everywhere. This isn't an accusation against anybody, but a reality that's going to speak to the truth of the matter. The false sign is cohabitation. What does cohabitation say? Cohabitation says, I'm going to give all my sexuality. I'm going to give all my affection, but not completely. Not completely because I don't quite trust you yet. What marriage does, marriage says, I'm going to give my all, my past, my present, my future, and I'm going to entrust it into your hands because you're trustworthy. And I know you're going to do the same thing to me because you put your trust in me. What cohabitation does, cohabitation says, I'm going to love you until something better comes around. I'm not ready to commit yet. Maybe something will, maybe something won't, but I got to keep my options open just in case this doesn't pan out. What marriage says, I'm going to love you forever. I'm hitching my ride to your ride. Where you're headed, I'm going. Till death do us part. And in fact, true marriage, the sign of it says this. True marriage says, even if I should die first, I'm still from purgatory or heaven going to pray for you so that you come to where I'm at. If you should die before me, I'm going to pray for you that you may get out of purgatory early so that we can be together in joy forever in heaven. That's what real marriage does. It says that. Cohabitation says, I have my things, my money, my checking account, all this is mine. You do with yours what is yours. Causes division. Marriage says, all that I have, I give to you. It's a beautiful sign that we have in our culture when the man at the marriage ceremony takes those aras, puts them in the hand of his wife and says, what I have is yours. I trust you to run the economy of the home. You can do it. All I have is yours. And in fact, marriage says something even deeper than that. It says, what I'm going to take from you is this. I'm going to take on your debt. Whatever it is that you haven't paid, I'm going to work to pay that. Because we're going to do it together. That's why it says in Scripture in Genesis, that's why a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves and holds on to his wife, and the two themselves become one in flesh. This is the great mystery of marriage, great mystery of Christ's love for his church. You know, Beyonce said this. And when Beyonce speaks, the queen bee, we listen. Beyonce said this. Beyonce said, if you like it, then you better put a ring on it. Beyonce said that. I'm going to read you some more of what she said in that beautiful hymn of commitment. She says this. She says, "Don't treat me to things of the world, because I'm not that kind of girl. Your love is what I prefer and what I deserve. Here is a man that makes me, and then he takes me and delivers me to a destiny, to an infinity beyond." She's talking about heaven there. "Pull me into your arms and say that I'm the one that you want. If you don't, you'll be alone, and like a ghost, I'll be gone." This is a woman, Beyonce, the queen, who knows what it is and who she is. She has an understanding of her own self, and because of that is a powerful woman. Each of us, you women, need to take note from the queen. You've heard that it was said from Beyonce that if you like it, you got to put a ring on it. But I tell you one further, that if you love it, you already have. Brothers and sisters, this is what marriage is ultimately about. There are four qualities of marriage that we need to live out. These are the four. They are free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Free, total, faithful, and fruitful. What does it mean to freely give yourself in marriage? It means that I'm not marrying you because I got a gun held to my head. I'm not marrying you just because we happen to have children together. I'm not marrying you because I owe you a debt of gratitude and something that you've done for me. It's saying that I want you and I want to ennoble you forever. I'm free. It's free, but it's also total, meaning that I give everything that I am to you. I hold nothing back for myself. I want to ennoble you and to use anything that I do have to build you up. That's why it's total. But marriage is also faithful, which means this. It means that I only have eyes for God first. I only have eyes for God first, and you, babe, come second. And I'm not looking at anything else or letting anything else get in my gaze between me and you, not even our children. Just us. That's what fidelity means. Faithfulness means only eyes for God and then for you. And then eventually we'll see kids in the periphery. But it's also fruitful. Fruitful, which means what? Marriage being fruitful means that we're going to let our love be life-giving. That's not going to be focused in on ourselves, but it's going to go out beyond us. That we aren't going to contracept our love and stop that love and think that that fidelity, that fecundity, that growth is something to be fought against. We might even actually adopt others who aren't a part of this love and bring them into that love. Because when we come together as man and woman, our love together becomes so much greater than what it would have been apart from one another, that our love is not just meant for the two of us. Sometimes we have to call that love another person, a child, about 9 months later. That's what marriage is. Marriage is free, it is total, it is faithful, and it is fruitful. That's what God has called us to. But if we're not there, how do we get there? You know, maybe we've had problems within our lives. We see so many difficulties within the world. There are so many false signs of marriage before us all the time. How do we make a dent into the great evil that has been perpetrated in our culture? Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed by it, because we don't do it that way. We work on marriage one couple at a time. We do it one family at a time. We do it one marriage at a time. If you have that, if you have that difficulty, come talk to me. Come talk to Deacon. We're ready to do it. We don't let anybody get married unless they're ready for it. We want to help you get there. We want to help you move to that point to cast aside all those things that are false signs of marriage and to enter into what true marriage is, because it's a great joy. But when it's done wrongly, it's hell on earth. We build a marriage the very same way that we build a football team or a basketball team. Coaches know this. Coach just nodded at me, says he knows it. You build a good football team, a good basketball team, a good volleyball team by working on the fundamentals of that sport with one player at a time. By encouraging a team spirit and a trust in the coaching staff with one player at a time. And then when everybody knows what their role is, knows what their part is, and are able to follow through with it, guess what? You get a successful team. The army motto was this. It used to be, we are an army of one, which didn't mean that each person can be an army all by themselves. No. What it meant is that we build an army one strong soldier at a time, showing them what their role is, making sure he knows what he needs to do and that he has the training to be able to do this, or she does. And then the whole of the army is an elite fighting force because everybody does what it is that they know they're supposed to do. We do the same thing within a family, within a marriage, one at a time, the right way. And that's the way we turn the culture around. So that when they look at the marriages here in Guadalupe County, they begin to see what marriage is supposed to be and what God's love is for us individually. Now, when I think about this, I think about vocation, I think about family, I think about St. Josephine Baquitas. Her image is right here. Hopefully you've been looking at it. It's a wonderful woman. But she had problems in her family. Huge problems. In fact, her family was a family of slaves in Africa. They were a bunch of African slaves, and because of that, they were sold from one family to the next, and abused and beaten and taken advantage of in all ways possible. So they didn't even realize who they were. They had lots of problems within their family. But at one point, a good, holy, Catholic family got them and moved them over to Italy, still as slaves, but began to show them by their lived out faith within their family and their life of love, to show them what the dignity of the human person was. And Baquita began to soften along with her whole family, eventually seeing that God's love is even greater than the love of this family. And so she chose on her own to accept baptism, just like you're about to receive. And then beyond that, saw that God was calling her to something great. Something to be in a relationship, not with some man, but to let God put that ring on her finger. And so she became a nun, a holy nun, a woman of faith that each of us can look up to and today can ask for intercession, even though she died hundreds of years ago. She's a saint. Brothers and sisters, this is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to recognize that He wants to marry His church. Guys, don't get weirded out by this. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and the whole of His church here on earth is His bride, which He desires to marry and to bring to Himself in a forever relationship. Those same four qualities, free, total, faithful, and fruitful, that we talked about in earthly marriage. What Jesus does what for His bride? He dies for her, giving everything. In fact, that's why Jesus allowed that lance to pierce His side even after He had died, so that every drop of His sacred blood may be poured out for love of His church. That's you and me. Jesus gives it all, and so husbands, you've got to be willing to die for your brides, die for your wives, to sacrifice for your wives. That's what marriage really is. It's not about what I get out of it. It's about me giving everything in it. You know, in marriage prep, one of the first things that Deacon or I do when we pull a family into marriage prep, what we do is we say, hey, marriage is not a 50-50 thing. It's not a contract relationship. It's not a, let's make a deal at how much I give into this. No, marriage is 100 and 100. It's full. It's totally giving everything in there. Why? Jesus gives 100% of His self to us, pouring it out in that perichoretic love, that Trinitarian love. It's not too high. You may think that's way up in the sky, pie in the sky thing. It's not. It's not, because guess what's high in the sky? Heaven. And God reaches down and pulls us by His grace little by little so that we can make it. And it is possible. So too, God plants Himself in the center of marriage because He made it a sacrament. It's not two to get married, it's three. Christ at the very center. And so, by His very nature, pulls us up to something higher and greater. God wants to be in the midst of our relationships. He gives us His grace. So in the second Sunday, it's also second Sunday of our ACA appeal. Now, I don't talk about this thing very much. You don't know me very much, but like, this is the end of when we're going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about ACA after this. Why? Because the gospel needs to be preached, not the gospel of ACA. But the ACA is super important, the annual Catholic appeal. Because in that second reading that Miss Alexis gave for us, She talked about through St. Paul that we got to be good stewards, meaning that we got to put others above ourselves. That's what marriage is all about, living that out. That's being loved like the Trinity loves. The goal is $3 million for the whole archdiocese. Our share is $13,000. Small amount. But a third of that whole total go, what it does is it goes to support priests, seminarians, deacons. We want more good holy men like Deacon Marvin. We didn't have to pay a dime to be able to be trained, and he's a good deacon, a really good deacon. We've got Mr. Steve Branch over here who's studying to be a deacon. God willing, he will be one in a short amount of time. He lives in Newkirk. I don't know why he's studying for the parish next door in Tucumcari. He's ours, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, right? I was trained as a priest because of the work of the ACA. I couldn't afford any of that. I couldn't even afford to go to college. The only reason I went to college, I went to UNM, was because of the lottery scholarship that paid my way. Neither of my parents went to college and graduated and got a degree. I was the first one. And so too, it is what you give in there that makes us to have good holy priests. Fabian wants to be a priest so badly. There are more here in our congregation who want to be priests and want to be religious, and the gifts that we give here to the ACA help make that possible. Fabian needs our support, and we need holy support so that we can pray for vocations, but also so that we can pay for the study of vocations. We want good priests. We need them. You have to share a priest right now. That's because we don't have enough. We need more priests so that we don't have to share priests anymore. What the ACA does is it not only supports those kind of ministries, but it has tons of ministries that it supports. You can read about it. But one of them is Family Life Organization, and that ties in with today's readings, ties in with Marriage Sunday. Because the Family Life Office, for example, what they do, supporting our families, they do what? They give us these engaged encounters and these marriage prep courses, these couples retreats that we need to help form couples to live out and understand what marriage is before they jump into it, so they can be prepared. They have marriage encounters and marriage enrichment things, because a marriage isn't just built and you get married and that's it. It's got to constantly be nourished and practiced and revivified throughout, or it could die. But we do, for those relationships that do good on the rocks, those relationships, those marriages that do have problems, we have a program that we run called RetroVi, which is a marriage encounter retreat for those who are married on the rocks. That comes from the French word, which means to find or to discover again. So what we're trying to do in RetroVi is to be able to find that love again, to build it up again within ourselves so the marriage can be replanted and blossom once again. The Family Life Office also gives us those NFP classes so that we can know what true natural family planning is. It also allows us to have these Dove ministries for those who have, in bereavement, who have lost loved ones. We have a lot of that here. So that they can begin to grieve properly and to find hope in new life, which is to come in the life with heaven. It does so many more things. Our gifts do this. And we can't just look after our own. You see, only 24% of our parish contributed last year to be able to do the ACA. That's abysmal. Only 24% are contributing to the good of the whole. It should be all of us. Whether that's me just being able, because I'm a young person, be able to say, hey, I'm going to give $5 to the ACA because I'm thankful for what God is doing in my life. Or maybe to say, I'm going to do a $50 pledge because my family is really struggling at this time. Or to say, I'm going to be able to give something even greater, to be able to do something good, or to make even a $500 pledge or a $5,000 pledge, whatever that God is doing within our lives. As your priest, I've never in my life given to ACA. I'm going to be honest with you. I never have. But that's changing. Because this year, what I'm going to do, I forgot to bring it this third time in a row, forget to bring my own contribution. I was going to wave it in front of you. For every Sunday Mass we have, I'm contributing $100, which is a lot for a priest. I only get about $800 a month. That's like 4% of what I have coming in. I'm going straight to the ACA because I'm going to trust God that He gave me a vocation. He paid for it through your work, and I'm going to give back and continue to do so. It's going to hurt, but it's going to be to the glory of God. Because He always takes care. always takes care of those who put him first within their lives. Brothers and sisters, our call today is to look at signs. To look at the signs that are on it and actually allow ourselves to be signs of Jesus Christ. To ask ourselves this week, that's the question, is does anybody know that I'm Catholic? Does anybody know by looking at me that I'm Catholic? Am I a true sign of God's love responding to my baptism? Or am I a false sign like those Germans? Am I pointing in all the wrong directions and leading others astray? So that our marriages can be the right signs, brothers, I invite you to join with me in a prayer on this World Day of Families for our families. O Jesus, most loving Redeemer, who have come to enlighten the world with your teaching and example, it was your will to pass the greater part of your life in humility and obedience to Mary and Joseph in the poor home of Nazareth. And it is by this that you sanctified the family that was to be the example for all Christian families. Graciously receive our families today as we joyfully consecrate ourselves to you. May our homes be shrines of peace, purity, love, and faith. Lord, guide us and heal us and establish your grace in our homes so that by conforming ourselves to the pattern of your own family, we may be able to enter into the eternal life to be with you forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.